Hello, this is Deborah Cohen, and I invite you to listen and learn with me for the next 30 minutes or so as we dive into the feminine aspects of God. A lot of women's libbers especially think that God has only male aspects, but in fact, the cloud of glory, aka Shekhinah, is the feminine aspect of Hashem, our God, our Creator. So if this interests you or piques your curiosity, then hang around for 30 minutes and learn with me. This is A Story and a Song with Deborah Cohen. I'll be right back. Hello, this is Deborah Cohen. I'm so glad you found me online. My music is a variety of genres, starting in the 80s as a new wave singer-songwriter, opening up for Joan Jett in Kenmore Square, Boston. From there, I wandered into different genres, exploring my faith, praise music, interfaith music, and pop, rock, indie music, as well as music for TV, film, and movies. So there's all kinds of things to learn listening to my podcast, A Story and a Song. And I hope that you will enjoy the journey with me and that you will share what you hear. Thank you for listening. And again, this is Deborah Cohen. I thank you for being here. We're broadcasting live on twitch.tv/Deborah Cohen Music. I'm still trying to figure out Instagram. This streaming system keeps updating, and so it's hard to like keep track of how to find the buttons on Instagram every week. Anyway, okay, so let's talk about this. What does the Shekhinah mean? The Shekhinah. Can you say that? Repeat after me. Shekhinah. The feminine aspect of God, Hashem. And this is intriguing to me because the more I learn about Judaism, the more I discover that women have roles that seem to have been suppressed, maybe, or lost or forgotten. Starting with Miriam and the tambourine, and she praised God with an instrument, and even that isn't allowed in a conservative synagogue on Shabbat in most places that I've been in. But anyway, the Shekhinah is the feminine aspect of God, and the women at the time of the Israelites coming out of Egypt, there, after Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain to talk to Hashem face to face, where the Ten Commandments were inscribed by Hashem's finger, there was word, God knew, that the Israelites, a select few of them, namely the men, were down there contributing their gold and silver and building a golden calf because they got tired of waiting for Moses to come down the mountain. Now, the story goes, according to tradition, that the women refused to give their jewelry to create this idol. So kudos to the women, and God rewarded the women by giving them the Feast of Rosh Chodesh. So if you women don't know, God honors us because we were faithful to him at Mount Sinai. But where do you find a synagogue that acknowledges this feminine aspect of Hashem that has monthly Rosh Kodesh meetings to talk about the women, talk about God, and talk about the Shekhinah, the glory or the feminine aspect? At the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Shekhinah, aka glory of God, manifested herself as a cloud. And my husband also says as fire, the pillar of fire. But right now, my understanding is the cloud. And today, it is possible to usher in the Shekhinah, which we sing to every Kabbalat Shabbat, Lecha Dodi. We're ushering the bride, a.k.a. Shekhinah. So why don't we have meetings with women that know about the Shekhinah and want to practice wooing in the feminine aspect of Hashem? I mean, this is my question. I mean, seriously, people, where are these meetings? Are they online? I'd like to join one, okay? So if you know somebody that gets together without pets, because, you know, when the dog gets in the circle, then it's all of a sudden about the dog, and it's not about the Shekinah, and I'm speaking from experience. The Shekinah is a person, a spiritual person. So you're saying to the Shekinah, can you go sit down, Shekinah? I want to pat my dog. Seriously? Oh, goodness gracious. Okay. So let me share this article written by D. Fine. One of the main goals of the Mishkan, and we're talking about it this week because it's Parshat Pikudei, and it talks about the Mishkan in that even though we don't have the temple in Judaism today, we still have the Mishkan per se. We are the Mishkan because God said back then he would dwell with them, meaning us. If there is no Mishkan today, then the them or the us is us, you and I, together. So when we get together and sing, which is how we woo the Shekinah, and stop making excuses about, I can't sing, or somebody said, you don't want me to sing. Get over yourself and sing louder. Sing to the Shekinah. Understand who you're singing to. It's the feminine aspect of God. And so I say every woman in the congregation on Shabbat or wherever we congregate together should be belting it out for the Shekinah. And if you say, oh, I can't sing, well, go get some lessons. Stop using a lame excuse. I'm sorry to be so harsh, but it's, for me, so frustrating to find people that don't understand the Shekinah, don't understand that singing is what brings the Shekinah in, like we sing on Kabbalah Shabbat, when we turn around, Bowie Shalom, you know, we're saying, come, the bride is the Shekinah. Okay, so let me stop ranting here and get on to the article. Okay, and it's based on this. This is exactly what happens at the end of Parsha Pikudei. Did you read the Torah this week, ladies? What does it say? In chapter, let's see if I can find it. Hang on just a moment while you get your paper and pencil. And I'm going to look for the chapter and verse. It is in Exodus chapter 40. So let's ingrain that in our heads. Exodus chapter 40. And Marty is in the house. Boker Tov, Marty. And I'm talking about the Shekinah. Okay. And this week's Parsha was Pikudei. And if you look at Exodus 40, verse 34, I will become very vulnerable and read it in Hebrew. I'm a child when it comes to reading Hebrew, so bear with me. If you have your Hebrew open, Vayaches he'anan et ohel moed uch Vod or uchavod Adonai male et ha mishkan. The mishkan. Yes. And if you don't know Hebrew, like I'm studying myself, so don't feel bad about it. Learn it. What I just said in English. And the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of Hashem filled the Mishkan. This is what I'm talking about. On Rosh Kodesh, ladies, let's get together in a group, all of us ladies, and practice the presence of the Shekinah, aka the glory of God. Yes, it's nice to get together and color and knit and all these things, but is that really how we bring in the Shekinah? That sounds like a mitzvah, which is okay, but I'm talking about the power, the feminine aspect of Hashem, the power. Once you experience that, and I have many times, by the voice, the Shekinah inhabits your voice when we sing. So if you don't sing to God, you're denying yourself and everyone else the power of God, because individually and collectively in a congregation, you can feel the power of God. That same cloud of glory that came on all of the Israelites at Mount Sinai is available to us women today to usher in with our voices the glory, the Shekhinah. Oh, are you starting to get excited? I hope you are. I am. I'm always excited about the Shekhinah. And I have to be careful because I've been called crazy before for having so much joy coming to the congregation to sing to God. Oh, they think I'm on drugs. Seriously, people, is that what our understanding of the Shekhinah is? When you see somebody else singing with all of their might, you're thinking, what are they on? Oh, on a simple level, as we just read in Pikudei, Parshat Pikudei, what exactly does this mean, the cloud of glory? On a deeper level, we know that Hashem created everything, and He is everywhere. In order for anything to survive, it must be connected to Him. If so, what does it mean that Hashem rests more in the Mishkan or Mikdash? He is everywhere and everything. So how can we say that He rests or resides more in one place than another? Think about it. In asking these questions, we are essentially touching on the goal or the aim of the Mikdash itself, which our rabbi so eloquently explained in the congregation, the synagogue, this past Shabbat, talking about the Mishkan. We are the Mishkan for the Shekhinah. Okay, so these are very two deep questions. So if you don't know what I'm saying, keep studying and pray, ask God to open your eyes and mind to His wisdom. You have to ask for it, or ask for wisdom. Wisdom was beside Hashem during creation. Wisdom was there before the waters were moved and God made the earth. The wisdom was there. Ask for wisdom. Ask for understanding. Ask for knowledge. And cry out, Mishle says, cry out for discernment. Do you do that every day in your prayers? Or are you reading them like, or you sound like an auctioneer at the Bima? Oh, oy vavoy. Okay, so I'm sure there are equally deep answers out there. We are going to cite a passage from the Sefer Hachinach, Mitzvah 95, Hachinach, who deals with this issue at the Peshat level, as He Himself says, the Peshat. The Sefer Hachinuch begins by pointing out that the Beit HaMikdash, a.k.a. Mishkan, is not for Hashem. It does not need a nice house with gold. And when He says it, it kind of grates on me because God is not an it. But it also grates on me when God, when you see English script and it says He with a small H. I'm like, never mind. Okay. He does not need a nice house with gold, silver, and wooden furniture. He owns the world and all the riches in it. Rather, the Mikdash must be for us. How so? Are you asking? I already told you the answer. How so? The Sefer HaChinuch goes on to explain that Hashem wants to give good, tov, to us, which comes as a result of the mitzvot we do indeed. Okay, as the Pasuk says, quote, and now, Yisrael, what does Hashem your God ask for you? To observe the mitzvot of Hashem and His statutes, which I command you today, in order to provide you and me with good, tov. The Ramchal deepens this point by explaining that Hashem wanted us to work for our reward via performing mitzvot And not that Hashem just gives everyone reward no matter how little they have accomplished in this world, but in order that we should not feel ashamed of getting a free gift, He wants us to feel like we earned or deserve the reward we get. Anyway, to the extent that we perform mitzvot and have managed to purify ourselves is the extent that we get this good, tov. The more mitzvot we do, both in terms of quality and quantity, the more we purify ourselves, and it points means more prizes. Do you want more prizes from God? I do. I'm waiting for the ultimate prize, Aliyah to Israel. Now, the Mikdash was chosen as the place where there could be the purification of one's personality. So imagine today you're going into the synagogue to be transformed. That's what it means. If you go to congregation on Shabbat or whatever day you're going, and this is for Christians as well, and you're not transformed and you start gossiping as soon as you get to the oneg, or what do they call it, potluck in Christian world, pot, whatever they call it. You start gossiping, you have had no transformation. You have not exerted yourself, and that's a shame, because it's a command to educate yourself and study the Torah to show yourselves approved. In the words of Sefer HaNechuch, HaChinuch, I want to pronounce Hebrew with eloquence, and I'm still working on it. It is the place in which our personalities, in parentheses, Sichleinu, reach up in connection with Hashem's personality. Whoa. And this is the resting of Hashem's Shekhinah. Whoa. Do you know you're going to feel the Shekhinah? Seriously, not only physically, but spiritually. And in the drug world, we'd say, what a buzz. So yeah, am I high? Yes, I'm on high, the most high. I get excited when I go to congregation and sing. It takes me a while sometimes because, yeah, like this past Shabbat, my husband and I didn't even want to go to synagogue. We wanted to stay home and watch on live stream. We did. But, you know, you need to be with the congregation to sing together to experience the ultimate power of God's feminine aspect, the Shekhinah, a.k.a. glory. In other words, the Mikdash is a place where we can feel most exposed to spirituality and feel like one in Hashem's presence. Echad. Do you feel like one, or are you too busy looking at what somebody else is doing during praise, during Pisukei Zimra? As a matter of fact, this past week in the congregation, there wasn't even enough people for the minyan. People. Why? Because where is the Shekhinah? There needs to be more education and teaching so that you understand why you need to show up at 9:15 or 9 o'clock or whatever time it is on Shabbat. It's not about, I shall not say, because maybe you'll turn me off because I'm so wound up about this today. Okay, this is predominantly, to experience Hashem's presence, this is predominantly as a result of the many mitzvot performed there, but also because of the innate holiness of the place. So yes, we do lots of mitzvot in our congregation. Wonderful. Helping, loving, accepting, all of that. But when it comes to attending synagogue, when you don't have enough on for Pisukei de Zimra, to even pray for needing a minyan, and you don't have a minyan for Kaddish? Oh, oi. Oi, bavoy. Okay, so there you have the article. So we know what Hashem's Shekhinah, hopefully, who she is, because I've explained it to you. And now I'm going to read a different way. We have time to sing to Hashem from this wonderful book my husband got for me. It's called Praise. Well, it's sort of like Chaim, life. And, I'm looking at it backwards because it's 75 Hebrew words by Israel at 75. It's by Rabbi Akiva Gersh. I don't know anything about him, but my husband apparently follows him. So here's a different way. If you have your Siddur on Shabbat and you look at the word Zemer, Zemer, Zayin Mem Reish, Zemer, Hebrew for hymn or song, appears throughout the book of Psalms, which on Pesukei DeZimra, when you show up on Shabbat morning, we're singing psalms to God, which could also be described as a book of hymns to God, although most Jews say hymn sounds Christianese, so we say tefillah. Many of David's lofty and beautiful psalms begin with the word mizmor, such as Mizmor Le David, Adonai Roi Lo Exar. And if you want to hear the whole song in Hebrew, go to my YouTube channel at Jewish Rock Music. Yes, that's what I said. I'm a rock and roller chick from the 80s at Jewish Rock Music. Yes, look for Mizmor Le David or Psalm 23. I'm not sure how I filed it online. Upon closer observation, however, you'll notice that some psalms begin with the phrase, quote, of David, a hymn, end quote. Not H-I-M, H-Y-M-N. While others begin with, quote, a hymn of David, end quote. So did you know that the difference between these two phrases in your Siddur is significant? When David felt distant from God and wanted to draw closer to God, he sang to God. The psalm that emerged from that moment of song is recorded in Psalms as, quote, a hymn of David, or David, end quote. For the song proceeded and led to greater closeness to God. However, if David was already in an elevated spiritual state and sang a song to express his love and devotion to God, oh yes, it's glorious. The psalm he wrote at that moment is recorded as, quote, of David, a hymn, end quote. So the difference in the wording is of David for devotion and a hymn of David. Oh, isn't that interesting? It's flipped. It's either of David, a hymn, while the other begins with a hymn of David. It's flipped. So if you're feeling closer to God already, you would look for a psalm that says of David, a hymn. But if you're stone cold when you come into the synagogue or in the middle of Pesukei DeZimra, if at all, you would look for a hymn of David because he wants to draw closer to God. And I hope that's why you come to the congregation to get closer to God. For millennia, the people of Israel have used songs to worship God. In the tabernacle and temple, the Levites sang every time a sacrifice was offered on the altar. The beautiful singing of the Levites helped everyone present, and particularly the priests offering the sacrifice, feel the spiritual power of the moment, a.k.a. Shekinah. The songs the Levites sang were taken directly from the book of Psalms. And yes, I'm a Levite, and so is my husband. Our last name is Cohen. One of the most beautiful aspects of the Shabbat experience is the tradition of sitting around the family or the table with family and friends and singing Zemirot, special songs composed to celebrate and honor the seventh day. And this is what I'm saying, as I said in the beginning, ladies, on Rosh Chodesh, we need to be singing around a table to the Shekhinah, to God, composed of songs to honor Shabbat. Shabbat is a taste of the time of the Mashiach when, as King David says in the book of Psalms, the entire world will sing to God. And I so look forward to that day. No more excuses. No more jealousy. No more comparing yourself to somebody else. No more sitting there listening and not singing yourself. No more of that. The entire world, Bo Mashiach, will sing to God. But in the seventh year, the land shall have a Sabbath of complete rest, a Sabbath of God. You shall not sow your field or prune your vineyard in Israel. And that comes from Leviticus 25, verse 4. And let us wrap it up with a few quotes from the Bible. Psalm 24, verse 1, of David, a hymn. So he was already feeling close to God. He was singing a song of love and devotion to God. Psalm 24, 1, just so you can read the Psalms and see the difference. Of David, a hymn. The earth belongs to God and all that it holds, the world and its inhabitants. So we should all be singing that together on Shabbat, not just letting the cantor up there chant away at warp speed. So, but if you're trying to warm up, I guess you could say Psalm 92:2, which is one of the Psalms in Pisukei Zimra. Psalm 92 is my favorite, actually, because it says, we shall still bear fresh fruit in old age. We shall be fresh and flourishing, the planting of Hashem, that he may be glorified. And I live by that verse, almost nearing 70 years old, I'm not ashamed to say. Even though in the United States, old people are discarded and put in nursing homes, but that's another topic. In Psalm 92, 2, it is good to praise God, to sing hymns to your name, O Most High. Oh, let us sing to God. So let me close with a wonderful song. Well, let's see, which one shall we close with? How about this one? I think that we all know this song. I thank you for listening. I'm sorry if I stepped on your toes. I hope you still love me. I love you. That's why I'm telling you about this, because a lot of people don't even know who the Shekhinah is. If you need to share this with somebody and you don't know how to say it, people that say, I can't sing anymore, maybe share this with them. Hopefully they won't get offended. Maybe you need to pray for them before you give it to them, because I notice that when I pray to God, if I'm having an issue with some other person that doesn't understand me, and all of a sudden, the next week or so, the person is nicer, more receptive. God answers our prayers. Can I get an amen? All right. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll join me next Sunday, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time on twitch.tv/Deborah Cohen Music or in the archives on YouTube. The handle is @DeborahCohenMusic.com. And someday, one of these days, I'll figure it out on my Instagram channel to be live, because I get a lot more peeps on there than Twitch. The handle is Deborah Cohen Music, DOTCOM. Thank you for listening. Oh, I guess I have to sing this because I don't have the music. Okay. Let us sing together and practice the presence of God. Oh, say shalom b'mromav, hu ya'ase shalom aleinu, ve'al kol Yisrael, ve'imru. Imru, amen. Oh, say shalom b'mromav, hu ya'ase shalom aleinu, ve'al kol Yisrael, ve'imru, imru, amen. Ya'ase shalom, ya'ase shalom, shalom aleinu, ve'al kol Yisrael, ya'ase say shalom, ya'ase shalom, shalom aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael, ya'ase shalom, ya'ase shalom, shalom aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael, ya'ase shalom, ya'ase shalom, shalom aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael. V'imru, amen. Oh, thank you so much for singing with me. I do enjoy singing to God. I hope you do too. All right, let's find the outro.